this day. Even as we bring your word, Lord, let it be a blessing to all, to each and everyone. Hear it today or hear it in the days after. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let it be to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. My name is Pastor Emmanuel Oba. I'm preaching from Gospel Missions International Church in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, United States of America. And we thank God for those of you who are here and for those who are going to listen. We pray that God will take this word and bless you with it, even as you apply it into your heart. The word of God is good. Amen. And the reasons God gave us this word, so that men can learn from it, use it for correction, for edification, even to make you prepared for the kingdom of the Lord. At times it's hard to understand in the natural. So that's why we always pray that the Spirit will give us understanding regarding to His Word. Today we are going to speak from the Scriptures concerning the birthright of a Christian. So the message today is contest to claim your birthright. We will explain as we go further. We take our readings from Genesis chapter 25, verse 30 to 34. Genesis chapter 25, 30 to 34. Let us read together. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. 31. And Jacob said unto him, "Sell this day thy what? Birthright." 33. Verse 33, please. Whoever is on the board, let's be first. And Jacob said, "Swear unto me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto him. Verse 34. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat, and did what? Drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau did what? Despised his birthright. The scripture said, later on he sought it with tears, and weeping, and crying, and sorrow. But he was not able to regain it. That will never be our portion in Jesus' name. That will not be the portion of your children in the name of Jesus. Now, there is a natural and spiritual birthright. We use the natural to show us what can happen in the spiritual if we are not wise or prepared. The natural birthright is mostly for those people who, for better terms, we say who won the genetic lottery and became by process of birth firstborn male, and they are the exclusive club of such because there can only be one firstborn male in a father or mother who are blessed to have such. And by the way God have designed it or spoken about it, these first sons now possesses something that is tangible. It comes with big blessings. The blessing of being the firstborn is such, as we're going to read in the scripture later on, you are entitled to double portion of everything your father has. But this position comes with conditions and responsibilities. The position and responsibilities are big, and you are expected as a firstborn to respect these positions because you are to carry over the generation that is to come. In other words, your name will carry on the name of the family to the next generation, and your son's name will carry on to the next generation. There are responsibilities that those who have the right to give you this firstborn status, your parents, if they passed away from this world, you are to carry on the family name and represent them. Your name will now be linked to that family, and your son's name will be handed down the generation. That is the right of the firstborn. You are to uphold certain standards that will make that family proud of who you are, of who they are. In the community, when they want to do something, they will invite you to represent your father, even though he might not be there again. When there is issue within your own very family, you are expected to man up and solve the situation as the firstborn of that family. Your siblings, your juniors will look up to you. Not just in anything, but also to set an example for them. If they have financial situation or family situation or whatever situation, they look unto the firstborn of the family to be able to step up. This position comes with this right and privileges, but also come with conditions and responsibilities that if you do not maintain, if you do not carry it over, it becomes a shame to the whole family. It will be a family that say, oh my God, look at their firstborn, it's useless. Their firstborn is this. They may not mind that the third or the fourth born is doing great in that family. The family will be looked upon as the firstborn that is not doing well, because that is the position of the firstborn. God put it in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. Deuteronomy 21, 17. What the firstborn can get. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated woman. He was talking here, even if your father, as in those days, are polygamous and married two or three women and doesn't like one particular woman and love the other one, and in the course of it, the one that is hated or wasn't loved as much had firstborn, was the first to produce a male heir to the family. He said, but even at that, the father cannot bypass, but shall acknowledge that son, even though the mother is not that loved or hated in this language, by giving him what? Double portion of all that he has. Double what? Portion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if your father has servants, you get double of whatever he has compared to your siblings. Money, double. Wealth of every type, double. If he has cows and goats or whatever he has in those days, he has double. You get double of them by your right as the firstborn. Why? For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. One can lose the right of firstborn by being irresponsible. One can fall away from inheriting the firstborn status and blessing. They go hand in hand. That belongs to them by being irresponsible or sin or being a failure in the family. An example of this is the same Esau and Jacob. God ordained that Jacob should be the firstborn. We'll come to that later on in our discussion. We also see situations like this in terms of Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah in the Bible. Where Reuben, the firstborn, was bypassed because of sin, he went into his father's bed and committed an atrocity that shouldn't have happened in Israel. So, the person who has the right to confer the status of the firstborn can bypass somebody, any of the children who fell and did not please him. So Reuben was cast away from the position of firstborn because of sin. Levi and Simon, he said, my spirit do not acknowledge him according to what Israel proclaimed over them. Because their anger was terrible. Say they killed a man in their anger and took away a life. And they were bypassed. Judah wasn't such a wonderful son, but he got it because God saw something in Judah down the line. Out of him, out of his lineage, will come one that he said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither does the lawmaker between his knees. That the Messiah will be coming down the line through him, so God can confirm upon you certain blessings, certain statutes, certain right as a firstborn, not just because of you, but because of what is coming down the line. And so you may inherit that blessing. Judah got a double portion in the blessings of his father. You go read it. He stated that Reuben, you are not going to get nothing. Neither will Simon or Levi. So yes, the firstborn status can be bypassed for some reasons. And one of those reasons is when sin. When responsibility, when you deny the right or despise it like Esau, who later on found out how much importance this status is and went crying, begging for it, but it was gone. It has been conferred to another. God can also decide to give the status of the firstborn to somebody else. As we noted in the crossing of hand, between Jacob and Esau and Ephraim and Manasseh, his brother, the sons of Joseph. In Jacob's case, we noted that the mother was pregnant after many years of barrenness, 19 years or so. And Isaac prayed and said, we need a son in this family. We need a child in this. We need children in this family. And in the course of prayer, God answered and heard him after this so many, many years, as I said, about 19 years or so. And the wife conceived. But in the time of conceiving, she noted that there is trouble going on in her stomach. It seems like these children are fighting down there. And he went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord, there are two nations inside you. Two people, different characters, different people all together, but from the same womb. The outcome is that the younger, the junior, will supersede the elder. So the elder will serve the younger. Later on, the Bible said that God hated Esau, but Jacob he loved. But Jacob, as we're going to touch later on, wasn't exactly saying things at the beginning. But God chose him. In the case of Ephraim and Manasseh, there was a crossing of hand also. So God can take, for whatever reason his decision might be, to take a blessing that as a portion to somebody who is not worthy of it and give to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when God does that, do not start to pity or start to cry over it or start to say, or feel guilty for being blessed. It is God's right to do as he chooses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you take from others, if that promotion was bypassed and given to you, then give God the praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has given you something that you feel you do not deserve, you don't know the whole story, why God is giving you those things you think you don't deserve. And if you are not getting what you deserve, that is what this message is about this morning. That you are not contesting for your birthright. And many Christians are in this form. They are not fighting for what is theirs, rightful position. So they become prince by right, but they are paupers because they are not contesting for their right. Now, the scenario changes when the birthright comes to Christianity. It does not appertain to only male child. It pertains to as many as we believe in him, Christ Jesus, either man or woman, either fourth on the line or fifth on the line, it doesn't matter. As many as believe in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. Quickly, please. Romans 8, 16. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children were what? Then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him. This is the right of the firstborn that comes with also a condition. It's not meant only for a man. It's not meant only for women. It's not meant for the firstborn or third. It meant for as many as who believe in Christ Jesus. You are now what is of God. Joint is with Christ. Now the natural firstborn only gets what? Two double portion. But for those who believe and put their faith in Christ Jesus, the right, the position you have is all of heaven's resources. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything that heaven have is yours. Everything that heaven possesses is yours once you have the right of the firstborn. Let's quickly look again at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 23. Hebrews 12, 22 to 23. Hebrews. But ye are not come unto the Mount Zion again, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living what? God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. 23. To the general assembly and the church of what? The firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. In other words, the general assembly of the firstborn is to all the Catholic, General, Church of God in heaven. And the company that you belong to is not the company of ordinary mortals. You are elevated to a high level whereby you have innumerable angels around you, surrounding you, working for you, supporting you. You are no more to move with the bigger and low things of this life if you belong to the church of the firstborn. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. This is the promise. This is the word of God. Now we know that if we look at the natural, it is only double. If we look at the spiritual, it is everything that God has. Everything that God promises, everything about 6,000 or so that is in promise in this word of God, you are entitled to it. But many of us are not living up to that position. Many of us are falling short of faith. Why is that? Many of us have even neglected it. Let's go back to Jacob. Parallel with him and see why many of us are in this situation and how God turned it around for him. Jacob was blessed from the womb. Before he was born, he was made a prince with God. The mother went to inquire and say, what is going on? And say, two is in your womb, two peoples, two nations. But the elder shall serve the younger. Every right you have will be challenged. Everything you get from God will be opposed. Though God has given it to you, it will be challenged by people, by family, by church members, by whatever you can think of, people out in the street. Every spiritual force will try to challenge to dispossess you of your possession. But that is will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So Jacob was blessed. Esau wrangled in the stomach to be the first out. Pushed him aside there. That's what was happening in the stomach, fighting, going on. The mother said, something is wrong here. What is going on? He said, two people in your womb. Being the stronger person and whatever, he manipulated even in the womb and pushed away to overthrow the plan of God. Jacob was not too far behind. He said that when Esau came out, what was happening, Joseph was holding onto his heel, trying to drag him back so that he can go forward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they were born in this fight. Then I'm pretty sure that the mother will have spoken to Isaac, see what the Lord has said. But the father liked, loved, cared for Esau more. Why? Because Esau is a man of his own liking. He goes to the bush, to the forest, and hunt and bring back venison, that is animal he killed, and make nice porridge for him. And Isaac liked that. So he was willing to transfer the blessings that belonged to Jacob, ordained by God, rightful possession of Jacob, to his son Esau. But the mother conspired with Jacob. One day they changed his clothes and stuff. When Isaac's days were coming close, he said, look, told Esau, go get something, make pottage for me, come so that my spirit can bless you. Now, children that are listening to this message this morning, or that will listen, don't despise the blessings of your parents. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't take for granted when your father is happy with you. Don't take for granted when your mother is happy with you. Because those things they spoke unto you will be validated by God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When they lay their hand on you and say, my son, you're a good son. My daughter, you're a good daughter. My children, this one is good. And there's one that is laborious and stuff, at times their soul will despise them. Their soul will be anger, but don't curse them. Don't say bad word about it. Pray, still pray for them, because the word of a parent what they call in the days of Roman medieval time, paterfamilia. Paterfamilia, that means the person who have the right over all, even the right of life in those days. What they say, what they proclaim, what they declare, the blessing they render is not to be taken for granted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Sarah, the wife confer with the son Jacob and say, "Let's do something different. Dress up, go to your mother, the father for the blessing." And he went for the blessing. Already the birthright has been sold for nothing, for a porridge. That's how he disregarded, he despised, he took it for granted. But Jacob was not leaving the blessing of he who has been blessed. Jacob was behind in the blessings, in the right of the firstborn. Everything was not working according to what it should be. One, he has to run away for his life. And the Bible said that the only thing he went away with is not double portion, not double servant, not double hatch, not double goats or cows or money, anything. He went out with only his wife's staff. He went and sought asylum with his father, with his mother's uncle, Laban. At first, things seems to be going okay. But things weren't okay at all. He saw the wife Rachel and said, "I would like to marry her." And say, "Yeah, go ahead and serve." I mean, this guy got to serve for 7 years for a wife. That's a lot of time. He was cheated in that bargaining. 7 whole years for a wife, but he did it gladly. But at the end of the day, what happened? Instead of giving him that, they took away that from him and gave him somebody else, Leah. Well, if you still want to serve for this one, you serve. But I agree with you. So his life was not lining up. He's running away. His life is being threatened. He's about to be killed by his brother. He came to his brother the same day. Laban, his uncle, the same thing. All around him is not living the life of the firstborn or he who has been blessed. One day, after 20 whole years, even when the mother passed or something, he couldn't go home to check on the mother because he was afraid of his life. He continues to the point that God told him, "Now you have to go home. I will be with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So he prepared to go home. But he was so afraid of his life that he went in secret. In night, he prepared and stole away with all he has, with all his children, with all the servants that he has been blessed with, and went, start going home. And Laban found out and mustered his children and other people with intention to go and kill him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Along the way, he says that with this intention, the angel of the Lord met with Laban and said, "Do not say anything either good or bad. Do not kill him, because God have a plan and a purpose with him, for him." So he came into the camp. We're not going to go into the story of what happened. At the end of the day, he left him alone because the angel warned him. Behind him is fear. In front of him is terror. He was in mortal fear of what his brother is going to do to him. This guy have not had rest all his life. Look at what he says here in Genesis chapter 31. Let's read it quickly, please. Genesis chapter 31, verse 36. Look at it and see if this is the life of he who is blessed. Genesis chapter 31, verse 36. After Laban, his father, his uncle, wanted to kill him, and God warned him, and he said, "The only thing that saved you today is because the angel of your father, the God of your fathers, came and warned me in the dream yesterday night not to do you harm." Jacob now got some courage and said, and Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Verse 27, let's be fast, please. 37. Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff and hast not found all the household stuff, set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. 38. These 20 years of bread of sorrow have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. 39. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee, by day or stolen by night. Go on, 40. Thus I was in the day, in the drought, consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep was departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for the cattle, and thou hast changed my wages how many times? 10 times. This man has not lived up to his rightful position. It is bread of sorrow that he's eating. 20 whole years in slavery, and he was supposed to be a prince with God. 20 whole years in suffering. He said he sleeps in the tents, in the drought, in the sunshine, in the frost, in the... He doesn't have a life, if you call it a life. And each time anything happened, he bears responsible, he becomes responsible for them. He was living the life, the lowest life. That's what servants are meant for, but that's what Jacob was going through. But remember that he was blessed even from the womb. Remember that God called him blessed, that he should rule over his old elder brother. He shall have the right of the firstborn, and is blessed by his father, and that blessing abound. But he has not realized. He has not come to terms with who he is. He has not come to his possession, even though he has possession. He could not claim them. He could not retain them. He could not use them. It doesn't do him any good. He was still running for his life. He was still in bondage. His wages have been deprived up to 10 times. He was sleeping out in the wilderness in the night. He was walking in the day in the sunshine. Everything about him does not reflect the promises of God. Do you know many of us, lives are broken? Many of us who call on Christ's life, Christ, who are children of God, experiences such. Nothing is going right. Not the family. Not spiritual. Things of earthly value and internal value are not working out right. They can't even lay claim to things of earthly value, how much more of internal one. Some are even not having blessing of bringing souls to the kingdom of God. Some are now having blessings of winning souls for God. That is a lack. Some are not having the blessings of material things that God has promised us. The health, the peace of your family, the peace in your children. All these things are jumbled up and not working. And you keep wondering why. You need to go and claim your birthright. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You need to go and possess your birthright. Possess your possession again. One day, after this thing is happening, Jacob started going home. As he was on his way home, he was afraid. He was terrified. His brother is coming to kill him. He went and sent message to his brother Esau and said, I'm coming home. The servants who went came back and said, what did he say? He did not say nothing. He was coming to kill you. Say, what is he coming with? He's coming with 400 men. So behind him, as I say, is fear. In front of him is terror. There's no way for the blessed of the Lord. He's living secondary to the blessing of God. But something happened and changed the whole situation. So he started to think, like you always think, how am I going to walk out of this and get out of this? He separated his children, some go forward, this and that. If he killed the first one, the second one will escape. And after all said and done, he went to the mountain. He made the Lord in the mountain. There's a mountain contest. That night, he said, a man met him, and they wrestled throughout the whole night. The person he was wrestling with is God. There is just a time you have to wrestle with God. There is just a time you have to fight it out. There is just a time you have to say enough is enough. There is just a time you say I'm not going to take no for an answer from the Lord or from anybody. The Bible said that man, Jacob, this night prevailed with God. It's not possible for you to prevail with God. But by the grace of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said he battled with him through the night. They fought. They wrestled. They wrestled. Towards the morning, the angel said to him, it is morning. I need to leave. And Jacob said, no for these 20 years. No for these 40 years or how many years of my life. I have been running. I've been blessed. I'm supposed to be a firstborn. I don't have it. I'm supposed to be blessed, I don't have it. I'm supposed to be up, but I'm down. I'm supposed to be the one that's the ruler, but I'm the one that's possessed. Hey, I am a prince, but a prince without a kingdom. I am a prince without a princess. I'm a prince with nothing to show for it. Enough is enough. I am not letting you go until you do what? You bless me. I am not letting the Lord go until I have received a blessing. Didn't your word say, Lord, that weeping we may wrestle through the night, but what comes in the morning? Joy. For weeping may endure for a night, but there is just a morning that is for you. And today is my morning. I'm not letting you go. The angel listened. And the conversation issue that was awkward and funny. What is your name? Say, my name is Jacob. What is what people call me? They still call me failure. They still call me cheater. They still call me a defrauder. They still call me a useless person, a firstborn that didn't get anywhere, a right that have no right, a position that have no position. That is what I am. I say, no more shall it be. Today, your name is no more what? Jacob, but what? Israel. For like a prince. Like what? A prince. Have you wrestled with the Lord and prevailed? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the point where he got to, and for once in his life, he stood his ground. Every time of his life, he was always running. He ran away from Esau when he should stand his ground and say, you gave me your birthright. My father have blessed me, whichever way I got it. But no, he listened and ran away. He ran away again when Laban was there, accusing him, cheating him, first time, second time, third time. Every time he said, these 10 times have you cheated me, changed my wages. What kind of a prince, a blessed person will be that. When everybody, the rod of iniquity, the unrighteous is just trampling over you. You are right. You are everything is being pushed down you, pushing you down to the gutter forever. There's just a time you will say, no, enough is enough. If I have to go to the mountain and hold on to the Lord until I break this band, until this yoke is removed from my shoulder, so shall it be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many of us don't go to that level. We keep waiting for God to do it. And God is waiting to confirm, validate the blessing he has already declared upon you from the beginning, even from the womb. You are here with God. You have a company of innumerable angels. You have a position with the heaven. You are not on Sinai where there is judgment, Mount Sinai where there is judgment and trials and condemnation. You are in Zion, a place of grace and mercy. But you don't know it. You haven't realized it. You haven't lived it up. You haven't even challenged it. You are negated. You despised your birthright. That's why many of us are not living it up. I'm not just talking of natural things. I'm also talking of things of eternal value. We are not getting anything done for God in his kingdom. We can't break the band that is surrounding us in the natural. How much more in the spiritual? Don't know how to say your ABCD. How much more your algebras? We have to have a change of attitude. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to think ourselves as what we are. I want us to stand on our feet as we declare these blessings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I've known of some children of God who go to a point they say enough is enough. If things are not going right and it's been, know that you are a prince with God. Family scattered. Children left, right, front and back. Unhappiness in the home. Unfulfillment. Agony in the night and in the day. That was not the plan of God for you. God have a plan for you as a prince or princess. God have a plan for you to be an overcomer and not be a loser in Jesus' name. God have a plan for you to prevail with both God and man. That the fullness of your blessing can manifest in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God have a plan for you and your children that they may live in the fullness of the right of the firstborn, both with God and with you and a man in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God have a plan for you to be able to prevail even at the gates of your enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Every part of you, both spiritual and physical, shall receive a blessing, shall receive a restoration in the name of Jesus. And your headdom to the kingdom of God shall be fully manifested in Jesus' mighty name. It is you to receive above and beyond the double portion. Amen? It is for you to receive above and beyond the double portion that the natural one gives. In your health, in your finances, in your children, in your work, in your business, in your spiritual and physical things. For you to repossess all your possession that the enemy has taken in the name of Jesus. And for God to add unto it great things of eternal value. So that not just in this world, but in the life to come, you have wealth, you have blessing, you have peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I bless you because you are God. There are some who are watching this. I know a friend who called, say, it's been miserable. Nothing works. Everything I put my hand in, this and that. Could it be that it's witches and wizards or this and that? My answer that it doesn't matter who it is, you need to possess your possession in the name of Jesus Christ. For there is no incantation against Israel. And there's no gainsaying against Jacob. Balaam tried it. Every left, right, and front say, we try to curse him from the mountain and from the valley. We look at the worst of his path. We look at what he was and what he is. But what I saw is that there is a voice of a king. Even in the midst of this congregation. Father, manifest it for us in the name of Jesus. There are many here who have been praying over certain things, who have been believing you for certain things, Lord. Let it no more tarry in Jesus' mighty name. Manifest it for us. Bring forth a performance in the name of Jesus Christ, that your people might rejoice in your salvation, O Lord. Eternal God, we thank you. You are God that never change or will ever fail. Like that day, it was the day for Jacob. Father, bring forth our day in the name of Jesus. Even as it was said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy shall come in the morning. There is nothing impossible with the Lord. You are God of the heavens and the earth. With you, all things are possible. Manifest it for your people, Lord. In our life, in the life of our children, let us see the fullness of your blessings in the name of Jesus. And let it be to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the putting hands together for the Lord, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Depress him, please.